Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. It was the decade that gave us O.J., Lewinsky, Seinfeld, and Titanic, but also a robust economy and relative peace. And now the 1990s are getting their due. National Geographic Channel is airing a six-part miniseries called The 90s, The Last Great Decade, which examines the politics, pop culture, and emerging technology of the era. Few television programs were as influential then as The X-Files, which ran for 9 seasons, spawned 2 movies, and had Americans looking to the skies.
I'm the key figure in an ongoing government charade, the plot to conceal the truth about the existence of extraterrestrials. It's a global conspiracy, actually, with key players and the highest levels of power, and that reaches down into the lives of every man, woman, and child on this planet.
Show creator Chris Carter has moved on to Amazon Studios' series The After, but he's made some time to remember Scully, Mulder, and the Smoking Man with us this morning. Chris Carter, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me.
What do you think of when you think of the 90s?
Oh, gosh. I think of a lot of hard work. but watching the National Geographic special again, there were a lot of things that I'd forgotten. I'd forgotten about Waco the extent to which Waco affected us and how long it lasted, the connections to Oklahoma City and even the connections to 9/11.
There was a poll commissioned to go along with this series, and a lot of people are nostalgic for the 90s. Are you nostalgic as well?
It's funny. I am a little nostalgic, only because now it seems like a time of relative innocence, considering what's gone on in the aughts and beyond. So I guess you could say I'm nostalgic.
You know, but watching the series, as you say, there was a lot of bad stuff going on then, too.
Of course, and you know, I always say I was a child of Watergate, but and really the counterculture. So we had we questioned authority, and we had we questioned everything. I think that went away in the 2000s, certainly after 9/11, and it's come back roaring back now, amplified.
Would you say that's a large theme of the X-Files?
Yeah, I think it was. It wasn't the theme, but certainly it was a part of the beating heart of the show. I think the beating heart of the show was really the conflict between the two characters and the love between the two characters, which I think is really central to its popularity.
So can you take credit then, for influencing people to question authority in the way that they did in the 90s? Or do you think the show reflected where the country was?
I'm not going to take any credit. I think that we do these things naturally. I think there's a natural arc toward justice. I think people want justice, and I think that we were really just, expressing something through these stories and these characters, a tough justice, because we were dealing with the paranormal, and of course it's kind of hard to throw the handcuffs on a lot of the the characters that we came against.
You said a little while ago that the 90s remind you of hard work, and the show came on the air in 93, but I want you to tell us what it took to get to that point.
This was cooking, I'm certain, you know, for years in my head, something like it. It didn't coalesce until 1992, I think. It was, you know, it took a year. It was really a decade of my life. It took a year to get it off the ground. So while you saw it in 93, it began in 92 in earnest. There's so many pitfalls on the way to making a TV show, and an enormous amount, multiply that in making a good TV show. So those are the things I'm thinking about.
And, you know, Fox was kind of a different network then than it is today. I mean, they were taking a chance on The X-Files, but you were really taking a chance on them, right?
Well, not really. I mean, I was really a hat in hand at that point, and I was lucky to be asked to create a TV show. And that I was given this opportunity to create something that was kind of unlike anything on TV at that point was, I think, a function of smart people that I was dealing with. As you say, a hungry network willing to try new things. But they had actually just had a show on called Sightings, which was more journalistic in its approach. And it dealt with similar subject matter. So I think that maybe that show kind of paved the way for at least our introduction.
TV is so much different today. You know, the series, maybe they premiere online only. People watch 10 episodes in one sitting. And back then, you know, The X-Files was kind of an event show on Sunday nights. Do you think you would approach doing the show differently today, you know, based on the changing nature of the medium today?
It's really hard to say, you know, and I'd be second-guessing myself. Certainly, if I had an opportunity to do 8 to 13 episodes a season instead of 22 to 25, I would have jumped at that because it's just a huge amount of work. We ended up doing, I think in the first two seasons, 49 episodes. You see shows now, cable shows, even network shows, they don't do 50 episodes until season 4 or 5.
Do you prefer to work that way?
Well, I think every television producer prefers to have as much time as possible to do the best work possible. I think otherwise there's a sort of mercantile aspect to television production that people don't think about. They think about the product, but the actual making of something requires a sort of an assembly line, and so you become something other than just a writer and a director and a producer. You become a manager and really a cheerleader.
Do you remember when you realized the show had become a phenomenon?
I sort of do. You know, we were on Friday nights in the beginning, and that's a tough night of television. People tend to go out on Friday and they don't stay home and watch. But we had this kind of, you know, that was when we were a cult show. And it was really when I knew we kind of had something in season one, and then season two, our ratings grew, and I could feel something happening, and we were kind of feeling our way along with the internet, which was new. Also, hearing back from people immediately, getting good feedback, so it felt like it was clicking very early on. But it wasn't until we moved to Sunday nights when we became a kind of another kind of cult show, which was just a sort of a bigger cult show. That was when we felt like we really had landed.
Did that put more pressure on you and the staff, just knowing that, you know, now there's kind of more attention on the show and people are discussing storylines and online forums and things, and now it's become kind of this, like, Sunday night event?
Yeah, there's a funny thing that happens, and maybe it's human nature, but people, as soon as you become popular, people are looking to tear you down or pick you off. And I remember there was a point at which the show was moving from Vancouver to Los Angeles after 5 years in Vancouver, and there were articles about how we were going to fail because we were going to be leaving the gray and moody environment of Vancouver for sunny Los Angeles, and we couldn't the show wouldn't be scary anymore. It was just a funny thing to have to address.
A lot of the tension in the show between the two leads is still kind of debated today. Were they a couple? Weren't they? And in the poll that is coming out along with this miniseries, like a quarter of the respondents said that Mulder and Scully are their favorite couple from TV in the 1990s. But I don't know. I mean, they never really got there, right?
Not on screen. They kissed, of course, but no, there was no hookup. It was a platonic relationship. It was actually sort of an idealized relationship of mine. It was really intellectual, and it was about something rather than just about I'd call them more base desires.
Now, I read David Duchovny the other day said that as long as, you know, the three of you are still around, that a third movie's possible or some sort of reunion's possible. I wonder, do you think about where these characters might be, you know, between dipping back into the X-Files universe? And who knows if you'll do it again?
Yes, who knows? There's lots of talk about it, lots of excitement about it, lots of questions. I think David said that the show will go on unless one of us dies. You know, in real life, you know, Jillian or David or I pass on. you know, that was I got a chuckle because I don't know for, that I would be lumped in with Mulder and Scully was a kind of funny idea.
But I don't hear any promises of a third movie from you there.
that's what the pregnant pause was. I can't make anybody any promises. I can tell you that certainly there's lots of talk.
What was your favorite show of the decade?
That's really hard to say. I mean, when HBO came along and that Sunday night lineup, you know, and that was really something that I think solidified into the early 2000s. But when The Sopranos came along and just that was an amazing show, and I have to say that probably is one of my favorite shows of the decade. And I think David Chase, you know, it was a masterpiece.
Do you think network TV as we know it is ending, or is it already over?
No, it's funny. You know, just when they say it's dead, you know, you get really good shows. You get the show like The Blacklist, and you see the stuff that's being done with Scandal. There are terrific shows on network, and while I think that the way we get our television will be changing, I wouldn't start writing the obituary just yet.
Is there anything you wish you knew about how to run a TV series that you know now that you didn't, you know, in 92, 93 on the eve of The X-Files?
Yeah, I there were lots of things that I wish that I knew then, but I'll tell you what I didn't know then. I didn't know what I couldn't do, which meant that we tried everything. We were really ambitious, and in a time when there was not all that much money to spend to put on screen, and when people weren't doing a kind of a more cinematic approach in television, or I felt at least that that we were sort of drive. We had these terrific directors who came to work on The X-Files, who really drove the visuals and made the show really what it was—the scary show that it was. You need to do a scary show. You need to realize the images in a certain way and tell a certain story. That said, I don't want to discount the writers. Also, they're very important to their ambitions to why the show was as good as it was.
Well, Chris Carter appears in the 90s, The Last Great Decade, a new six-part miniseries from National Geographic Channel, and he's best known for creating Millennium, Harsh Realm, The Lone Gunman, Amazon Studios' The After, and, of course, The X-Files. Chris Carter, just a pleasure.
Thanks, Ian.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.